Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, the podcast designed to help your family survive the day, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. We're glad that you've joined us for the 71st episode of the podcast, and we want to take just a moment here at the beginning. We have a guest with us in just a few moments, but I want to let you know that as we were trying to record our interview with Shelley Hazel, we had some problems with the recording equipment on our computer, and so what you're getting ready to hear is a phone interview that I recorded with Shelley some time back, and I just want to take a moment to let you know that because the audio quality is not what we try to do on the program, but we needed to get the interview done and recorded, but the program just simply would not work with us, and for that we apologize. So we hope that you understand the inconvenience it might be. It may not sound as up to quality, but the material is absolutely outstanding. Shelley was very gracious to take some time with us to talk about Forever His, which I think you will greatly enjoy and be encouraged by. And so just kind of sit back or keep driving or keep running or whatever you happen to be doing and enjoy this interview with Shelley Hazel from Valdosta, Georgia.
And how we knew each other, but I didn't want to call him an old friend because that means we're old.
So that's right.
How about a long time friend? Is that fair
that's
enough?
Right. That sounds good.
Well, just a few weeks ago, or I guess a couple months ago now, on the program, we actually had your husband with us, Wesley Hazel. He and I have known each other for. We will say we're old friends because he and I are old, all the way back from Southeast Missouri days. But some of our listeners may have heard that program and know a little bit about him and you and the family, but. Just in case they don't or just missed that program, take just a minute and let us know a little about you and your family and where you live and all the good things.
All right. Well, I'm married to Wesley Hazel, who is the full-time minister at the Forest Park Church of Christ here in Valdosta. And many people may know our congregation because we are the home of Latin American missions. Mm-hmm. And you've probably taken a trip with Jack Farber or John Farber or Spencer Broom and or one of the other guys out there. And right now I currently stay at home, and I substitute teach for my kids down at Georgia Christian School.
Very good. And we always try to get as many Southeast Missouri connections as we can on the program. I don't know why.
Like it's it. Just
and I was thinking actually this morning as I was getting ready, I knew we were going to do this, record today. For those who are listening, we're actually recording this several weeks in advance. And I kept thinking, you know, Shelley grew up in Southeast Missouri, but or in Jackson area. And Shelley, I can honestly say that my favorite thing about Jackson, besides the Lord's Church, was there was you and your family, because I knew it wasn't football because you all killed us every year.
Well, I actually went to Cape Girardeau, Cape Central, and so Jackson killed
us. That's right. I'd forgotten that.
Yeah, that made it hard going to church that Sunday after.
That's right. I had totally forgotten that you went to Cape Central. Well, good. We didn't play you all. So that's taken off the table, because you would have killed us even worse than Jackson. That's all there is to that. But the reason we have Shelley on this week's program is talk about something, and I know she's going to admit that, you know, this is not original with her, and we'll let her get into that in just a second. But it's something I noticed on your Facebook page several months ago as the event kind of was coming up and the congregation there at Forest Park was building up to it. And the event or the program is called Forever His. And before we get into, you know, kind of specifics of this thing, take just a moment, Shelley, and give us kind of a 50,000-foot view. What is Forever His? And go ahead. I know you're going to do it anyway, so go ahead and give credit where credit is due, that this is not original to you, but it's something that Forest Park has adapted from another congregation.
Sure, sure. This is something that we heard of originally from Kim Higginpoffen at the Carnes Church of Christ, and I'm sure a lot of people know her husband, Steve. Mm-hmm. And what to call it is difficult. We kind of went over and over this. It's not, in a nutshell, it's not easy to say, but we landed on a one-day VBS for children with special needs, and it was a big hit.
Very good. And so you all did this. I forgot to roll back through the Facebook timeline, but it was September, October, somewhere in that time frame, correct?
Yes, it was towards the end of October.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. I just didn't quite have time before we started going to scroll back through the Facebook posts and everything. But you mentioned it was original with Carnes, or at least that's where you all heard it from. Kind of tell us how you got wind of what they were doing there at Carnes and why Forest Park decided to do something along the same lines.
Well, actually, Wesley saw a video that they had made of their Forever His event after it was done, and I guess this was 2 years ago now, 2 summers ago, and thought it was a really good thing and would like to do it. And that was probably before we even landed at Valdosta. And once we were at Forest Park, we knew that we really needed to do some more community outreach type of activities and thought this one might just be the right one for our congregation.
Okay, so something that you all kind of had in the, I guess, better way of putting it, would be kind of an idea folder for a couple of years, but you felt that
right.
It was a good fit for Forest Park and for the Valdosta area. That's good. Let me just ask this, kind of take it any way you want to question. Why? Why did you think this was something that would really be effective for the congregation there, but also for kind of the community there in the Valdosta area?
Okay. We do have a member that everyone loves, a little member at Forest Park. Her name is Rosalie, and she has Down syndrome. She is one of our elders' granddaughters, and she's just in all of our hearts. So that kind of went in. Her mom is very well connected in the community. Before she ever had a daughter with Down syndrome, she was a director in Special Olympics. So it was kind of a connection we already had. But we also have a large community here. Valdosta has, the greater Valdosta area has around 100,000 people. So we knew we have a big draw. And then we also just have some really awesome workers at Forest Park. And this is definitely something that requires a lot of workers.
I'm sure we're going to get into the specifics in a minute, but that's one question I've got for a couple of minutes down the road. It's kind of the task force or the workforce it takes. But I love the heart behind this. And you mentioned describing it's almost impossible, and I understand that. We try to describe various church events or church programs, and describing them is virtually impossible. But you mentioned it's kind of a one-day VBS. Give us kind of the comparison and contrast. What makes it similar to what most congregations might think of as a typical or stereotypical VBS, and then what kind of makes it a contrast from that?
Okay. I like your word typical VBS. That's what we tried to use a lot when we talk about typical children. This VBS differs from a typical VBS in a big way in that we're not really trying to teach Bible stories so much. Mm-hmm. We're really trying to make sure that we design activities that are appropriate for children with special needs. And we did say children with severe to moderate special needs. So that's something
that's,
to keep
that's one
in
thing
mind.
I was going
to
ask. Yeah, okay. Very good.
Right. So you wouldn't do things. I'd say that if a typical child came to this VBS, unless they were very young, they would probably find a lot of the activities babyish or boring.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of sensory activities and hands-on things. But at the same time, we wanted to make sure we were teaching Bible stories just on a level that the children could understand.
Very good. So obviously, you have the idea to do things where it's, and I apologize if I use incorrect terminology. I'm trying to do this on the fly a little bit, but intellectually or developmentally effective. So knowing that, what was your all's choice of kind of the theme and also any particular story that you used as kind of the background, even though your emphasis was not, you know, it's memorized David and Goliath, but the emphasis was more on the interaction. But what did you actually end up choosing as far as the theme and the story or stories?
Right. We really enjoyed our theme. We did a creation theme, Days of Creation theme. So we had a center. We had seven centers, one center for each of the days of creation. So that was really fun. And I should say that one of our main goals, I didn't mention this as a reason that we chose this as well. When we did some research about this, we found that about 75% of families with children with special needs do not attend church at all because they believe that for whatever reason they're not welcome or they're just, it's too much trouble. So this was especially something to reach out to the parents even more so than the children who attended.
Very good, and that is significant research. I've seen very similar numbers. You know, well over half. Every time you see a number, it's well over half of families, especially with. And it seems to me, and I may be incorrect, but the things I see, it seems that almost the more severe the disability, the less likely the family is to attend.
Yes, it does seem that way.
So you all chose a creation theme. It's kind of, you don't have to give us everything that was done, but. You know, you had those 7 days of creation. You mentioned that there was more sensory or more hands-on. Just kind of give us, three or four examples of some things that were done to make this interactive and helpful for these children.
Sure. We told our teachers, the ladies that we asked to design the classes, to just go crazy, be as creative as they could. And so it was a lot of fun walking in and seeing what they had done. But the day one center, it was all dark, and we used black lights in there. And they did glow-in-the-dark Play-Doh. They had a day glow, like a black light story of creation that they went through. And that was mm-hmm. fun. The day two center, it looked like you walked into an water. I mean, it looked like on day two when God created the surface of the water and that's all there was. It was really neat. There's water and sky everywhere you looked in the room. And they made little sensory jars that had water and beads in it with the children. And day three, that was dry land and plants, so they had a sand table that they played at. And, the best one that I have to tell you about is day four. One of our church secretaries made a dome out of cardboard. She got this idea, I believe, off of like NASA website and downloaded a program. And it was, and now I'm not going to be able to think of the word. What do they call it when you lean back and you look and out, and watch a movie projected on the inside of the dome?
Oh, it was a panoramic.
Yes, yeah, somebody who's listening is going to be like, this is the word you're thinking of. Like you went to the science center, and it was the creation and the stars all being created up on that. The kids loved that one because they got to crawl inside the dome. That was really cool.
That is a neat idea. Very good. And so people see the emphasis there on the sensory and the, you know, but also I want people to catch something, even though it was all day. Seven centers in one day. I'm just guessing these children were not in each center for all that long.
No. They did about 15 minutes in each center. And that was pretty spot on.
That's very important, too. Yeah, that's very important, too, when dealing with children with special needs is the need to keep moving and to keep things fresh before them. Very good. Okay, let's get into some of the particulars here. You mentioned it took a lot of people. Kind of give us some idea, first of all, of how many children there were, and then how that compared with how many people it took to actually pull this off.
Okay, it'll sound crazy, but we had 15 children there, and that was like there was a whole kind of crazy story of how that came to be. There were 15 children, but we had, when I tried to calculate the total number of volunteers that participated, and of course we tried to get as many people as we could, but we had over 90 volunteers. It might have been 100 volunteers. Not all there that day.
And see, to me, that doesn't sound crazy, because that's what I was going to ask you next. This is not just we had 90 people sitting in a classroom. Give people some idea of what it took to actually pull this off.
Okay.
As far as the volunteers.
The big part is getting buddies. We matched two buddies to each child, and we kind of told them, you are the ambassadors for the Forest Park Church of Christ to this family, and it's your job to make this family feel welcome at the Forest Park Church of Christ and to learn all you can about their child and to make them feel comfortable leaving their child with you for a day. And if that child does not want to do the centers and they want to roam the building the whole day, then you'll be roaming the building the whole day behind them. But you're there to see to their needs that day. And that was really successful. So each child had two. So times 15 children, that's 30 buddies. Plus, each center had two teachers. Plus, we had some kids who did puppets. The teenagers actually asked me if they could do a puppet show, and I was like, well, yes, we want to live in a puppet show. And
someone volunteers to volunteer. They're doing it.
Exactly. And then we brought in, like, the school my children go to, it's a school associated with the Church of Christ. We had them to build some things for us. We had lots of people building our giant dome. So that took a lot of people. We had people who were in charge of ordering T-shirts. We had people in charge of decorating. It was a whole crew of people.
That's wonderful. And events like that, and I'm a big fan of calling events, but I hope people know when I say that word what I mean. They tend to be the kind of thing that yes, it takes a lot of people, but that's one of the joys of it. If you see people working and doing things that maybe they're not typically involved in a lot of areas, but this is something where they see that really, quite literally, no one else could do this particular work than me.
Absolutely.
Whether it's being a buddy to one of these children or helping to build something, I just love things like that as far as the unity of the church and the working together nature of the church. And so that's, 90 sounds wonderful. That's fantastic to me. That's great. Let me ask this question. We're dealing obviously with people's children, but also, you know, children with special needs. What kind of precautions were taken as far as maybe safety or even if it was some kind of medical release or those sorts of things for a day like this?
Sure. Our forms that we had them fill out, we really copied directly from the Carnes Church because it was so detailed. And our parents, we got lots of great feedback from our parents that form made them feel much better. It asked just every question you could possibly want to know about their child. And it even had a question at the end that said, is there anything else that you would like me to know about your child? So it got in-depth about medical history, feeding, sensory issues, everything you could want to know.
Very good. And did they have to bring those ahead of time or just at the actual day?
They filled that out online. All our registration was online. And then we printed those out for our buddies. And we tried to kind of match the buddies based on that child's needs and that buddy's mm-hmm. experience.
Very good. I like that a lot. How did you get the word out? Because you mentioned about us, you know, it's a big place, 100,000 people or so, and the area probably has, you know, quite a few more than that out in the suburbs and so on and so forth. And, you know, you don't want you'd love a kid from across the street to come. That's not the only kid you want to be there. So kind of how'd you spread the word throughout that big of an area?
Well, we really had thought in the beginning that we won't even need to have budget for advertising because there's so few slots. And we will just, by word of mouth, we'll tell our friends that we know that have special needs, and we'll just fill up. And it did not work out that way. We were getting very nervous as it drew closer. But Kim at Carnes assured me that that's how it always goes. They wait to the last minute. But we did get the radio station around town to promote it for free. And
wow.
We had a lot of success from that. We made a on Facebook, you can have things like your event advertised and boosted. We did that, and that was very successful. And, of course, Rosalie's mom was really successful in getting a lot of Rosalie's friends to come to the event. So we felt like if you had a personal connection to the people, it was so much better as an outreach to the church.
Right. Very good. And you said something there. I don't think I caught this the first time through. You said the slots filled up. Did you have an intentional number in mind, or am I just mishearing that?
That we did. We had, because you're matching two buddies to each kid, you really have to max it out. And I think our original plan was 12, and it expanded a little for different reasons. We had a little bit of technical difficulties, but it all worked out. We got enough buddies there the day so we could breathe easy. But had a lot more than that, you could really get overwhelmed quickly.
Okay, that's very good advice. I didn't catch that around the first time, that you kind of need to know. You know, a lot of congregations with a typical VBS will say, every kid in the community can come, and you might be able to actually pull that off and handle it. But when you're dealing with children with special needs, there's so much more one-on-one attention, safety issues, and that sort of thing that you really need to kind of have a max number.
Yes, absolutely.
Very good. This voice is so encouraging. And yeah, I think a lot of people hearing this is just a program. This is far more than just a program. So I'm going to ask you to kind of do the impossible here, Shelley. just kind of to speak from the heart. Why did this matter? You know, and why was this? Here we are on a podcast about it a few months later. And as soon as I saw you all posting about it, I thought, okay, we're going to get somebody, you or someone, to talk about this on our podcast because I saw your all's heart shining through even Facebook posts. Why did this matter so much?
Right. I think that Forest Park is a place that has so much potential and has so much love for the community. But I think it's also a place that didn't really know how to get their name out there and to make sure that people knew who we are and that we love Christ and we want you to come be a part of what we are. And this was just a great way to get everyone behind something to get people excited. We have had several families visit since then. We've had one Bible study out of this, and we've had people who've been volunteers who have started attending more faithfully and being more involved just from this event, from being excited about ministry. And it really doesn't matter what the population was. This just happened to be to families of children with special needs, but anything that you can get behind like that and everyone can get excited about doing together, it's just going to light a fire in your congregation.
Well, that's wonderful. That's well said. Very, very good. You know, and if you do want to get specific to this, you know, I think one reason it's important is we preach and teach all the time that God cares for every person.
That's
and
right.
This is a way to actually show that.
That's right. All lives matter. We're not just talking about babies in the womb. We're talking about children who've been born. And that's right, everyone.
That's right. And I love what you said about reminding people that somebody with a child with special needs, they're not very likely to attend any church, not just the Church of Christ, but they're not. They may be particularly religious. You know, they may love to read the Bible, but there's something about actually going in a church building. It's very intimidating. It can be difficult. And frankly, if I may be so bold, sometimes we can make it more difficult than it needs to be.
Yes. And not try to meet the special needs. Not that we're not being mean on purpose, just sometimes we don't see.
That's right.
How difficult it can be to sit still and to be quiet and all these things.
So. Mm-hmm. I saw a video not long ago. Well, I guess it was long ago now. I told you I'm getting old but it was a while ago. But it was a congregation that was remodeling their educational area. And in that remodel, I can't remember how much money they spent. And, yes, it cost a little bit of money. But they spent the money to remodel one of the rooms specifically for a class for children with special needs. And I thought, you know, that's worth every penny if only one kid shows up.
That's right.
And it just touched my heart.
We had one special room set aside as a sensory room for children who just got overwhelmed. And those of you who are in the special needs community know what I'm referring to when I say a sensory room. But we had, it was a dark room, and we had like a disco ball and some other activities and sound machine, things where they can just kind of be quiet and focus on one thing. And we have plans, a lady who attends church here who has a special education has plans to buy some special Christmas lights here at the end of Christmas when they're on sale. And really deck that classroom out so it can be there year-round. And if we have a visitor or if our little Rosalie needs a place to hang out, it'll be there when she needs it.
That's wonderful. That is absolutely wonderful. Well, Shelley, is there anything else we need to say about this that we haven't? And if not, can you give us maybe some web address, maybe a website or place for a video or something that we can see to learn more?
Sure. If you go to the Forest Park website, we have a link to the Forever His ministry, and I believe that you can watch the video from there. I'll double check and make sure. You can watch our video that we made at the end of the event and sent home with all the parents. It's pretty sweet. And you can access our form. I would encourage you, if you want to do this event, to look at our registration form and see what kind of information was on there. And you're always welcome to contact me, and I'll be glad to give you a rundown of how we organized this and got it rolling.
Very good. And we will have the link to Forest Park and any specific pages there that people can look at in the show notes for this episode. And people can find that at fawnfamily.com/POD71. That's the number 71, POD71. We can find the links to Forest Park as well as to the specific pages you mentioned. Shelley, thank you so much for coming on this week. And way, way, way more than that, thank you for being a longtime friend.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
And we're such close friends that, let's see, recording this in December is releasing in January. I'll probably see you, in August?
That's good.
That's about the way it usually works. It's each other polishing the pool, right. And that's about it.
That's right. We're the ones who live like 13 hours away from everybody, so that's how it goes.
That's about right. That's right. We really appreciate Shelley for being with us this week and appreciate all who are listening to the program each and every week. Remember, until next time, your family can go to heaven. Just make sure you go there together.